Podcast. My name is Logan Wortman, and I just wanted to record an episode really quick just to go over and talk about, you know, this crazy offseason that we're having in the NBA. You know, to date, it's got to be the most hectic and fast-paced just offseason that we've ever had, just because, you know, it's running on such a tight schedule to get the season started and going. And so this whole offseason with the free agency and all that kind of stuff has really happened within a week. Which has to be unprecedented. So I just wanted to cover all the moves and stuff that have happened. It seems like there's just a lot of stuff that's gone down, a lot of mixing and switching around with players and teams that changes the outlook of the league at least a little bit. And I just kind of wanted to go over some of the moves, basically all the moves, and talk about what I like about them for each team and what I don't like. We'll just go through that really quick. And I am recording this on November 23rd, so everything is up to date until that. So if anything has happened by the time you're listening to this or by the time this comes out, please don't get mad at me. There might be more things, but I feel like it's probably pretty slowed down now after all this stuff that has happened. I'm sure, you know, there's going to be some moves here and there, but there's been a lot of stuff to already happen, so I didn't want to waste any time on getting a microphone out and starting to talk about it. So we'll do that right now, and we'll go through all 30 teams. So we'll start off with first, alphabetically, the Atlanta Hawks. And I do think I'm going to make this into like a series. I'm going to split this up into a few different episodes, a couple different parts. So this is going to be part one. I think I'm only going to go through the first seven teams in this episode. And so, you know, that's going to be the Atlanta Hawks, Boston Celtics, Brooklyn Nets, Charlotte Hornets, Chicago Bulls, Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Dallas Mavericks. And then the next team will be the Denver Nuggets, which is, you know, my team. I'm going to be spending a lot of time on that. I have big opinions about what, you know, this offseason, what it means for them. So that'll be the top of the next episode in part two. Enjoy part one, and we're going to start off with the Atlanta Hawks. So I think Atlanta has, you know, they've definitely had a really active offseason thus far. A lot of people really like it. You know, our good friend Jacob would go so far as to say they're now a 4 seed in the East. That's where, he sees them going with the talent they've acquired now. I definitely wouldn't go that far. I know that there's a lot of people that do consider them like a playoff lock in the East. I don't know if I'd even go that far either. I would say if I made a list, you know, of my top 8 teams in the East, I'd probably end up putting Atlanta in it. Yeah, for sure. But it's still, I just don't know how much I believe in this roster just in terms of fit. They've kind of got a hodgepodge of players at this point. They've got way more talent than they did last season. But their problem last season really wasn't the amount of talent they had. It was the fit, and it was the amount of defensive ability that they had, which they do have a bit more now. But I guess we'll get into how I feel about that. So initially, you know, with the draft, they drafted Onyeka Okongwu at USC with the 6th overall pick, and you know, I like Onyeka Okongwu in the sense that you're adding defensive versatility. A guy that can, you know, switch around and play really solid defense on lots of different kinds of players. But offensively, he doesn't really fit in, I think, with the roster they have right now, just because they do have some other rim runners to pair along with Trae Young, with John Collins and Clint Capella. They also have Bruno Fernando, but he can stretch the floor a little bit. They also have Skylar Bissier, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So I guess we'll see what happens with them. I don't know. You know, I would have preferred Onyeka Okongwu going somewhere else, and I also would have preferred the Hawks picking somebody else here at number 6, somebody like Tyrese Haliburton, might have been a better selection here. Somebody like that. I think just would have been a overall better use of the pick here, or even Devin Vassell. I think Devin Vassell would even be the best decision here, just because he gives you a little bit of perimeter defense, and he could shoot the ball as well. So, I didn't love their draft. It was all right. They got a really talented player in Onyeka Okongwu. It's just a fit that I'm not super excited about. And with the 50th overall pick, they got Skylar Mays as well. And then free agency, they signed Danilo Gallinari for like a pretty, pretty big contract. He's getting paid like $20 million a year now with Atlanta. And so, he's a stretch four, one of the best stretch fours in the league, I would say, in terms of being a stretch four. But defensively, he's not great. Like, he's a pretty good team defender, and he's a guy who can hold his own in the post against slow-footed fours, other guys that play the four that aren't super athletic. He can stay in front of them, be with the amount of speed that he has, which isn't much, but he can manage. There's very few threes in this league that he can guard, and with the roster the way it's constructed, Danilo Gallinari is probably going to be playing the majority of minutes at the three. So that's not a great equation for them, and especially because the guy that will probably be spending the most time at the four, John Collins, also is not a guy you want guarding threes. And he's also a guy you don't want guarding fives either. He's kind of just a four defender, a guy that should guard some smaller, a guy that's not guarding super big guys, just shorter guys, like 6'9", 6'10", range, 6'8", to 6'10", range, and being not super fast around the perimeter. So, that's not a very good equation there to have John Collins and Danilo Gallinari on the floor together on defense, in my mind, in my basketball team-building mind. They got Clint Capella holding up the middle, though. He's got solid rim protection. He's a good defender. Are you just if you're just relying on Clint Capella to swat away every basket at the hoop, that's probably not the best defensive game plan. What I did like, though, is they added Chris Dunn in free agency as well to be one of those, guys that can guard the perimeter. But with, some of the other moves they made with signing Bogdan Bogdanovic, that's kind of digging into those Chris Dunn and Trey Young minutes that you'd get with them both on the floor together, which kind of defeats the purpose of signing Chris Dunn in my mind. Chris Dunn is still probably going to get some valuable minutes, coming in there and guarding stuff when they need him to, along with DeAndre Hunter as well, trying to, become a more reliable defender on the perimeter. But Bogdan Bogdanovic is not somebody you're going to be throwing on, a scorer that you want to slow down. Like, that's not the type of defender he is. He's an all right defender. He can be out there and be passable, but he's not like a specialist in any way. Chris Dunn is a specialist when it comes to the defensive end. And so it's just weird. They've got some pieces now that I would have wanted them to get in terms of defensive versatility and just added defense, but they've got other guys in those same positions that make them kind of the priority over those guys that they got for the defensive side of the ball, just because they're getting paid more, and that it just kind of defeats the purpose in my mind. You're adding a lot of offense with Danilo Gallinari and Bogdan Bogdanovic and Rajon Rondo, really, if Rondo holds up to be like what he was last year in the playoffs. But I don't know what Rondo's ceiling is really with this Hawks team turning 35. It's whatever. I'm not in love with this Hawks team. Things they lost was Dwayne Dedmon via trade to the Pistons. They lost Jeff Teague to Boston in free agency. DeAndre Bembry to Toronto in free agency. And Damian Jones, Scalabissier, which I falsely mentioned before of him still being on the roster, but apparently he's not. Vince Carter retired, which, respect. and they waived Khyree Thomas. So it's, yeah, I mean, the pieces they brought in are better than the pieces that went out, for sure. That's for sure. But in terms of really smart team building, I don't love it. I don't love what's going on in Atlanta. These guys are going to be having to take smaller roles than what they're accustomed to. And these are guys that I like in Bogdanović and Gallo and Chris Dunn. So, and I like Onyeka Okongwu, which I don't think this is a great situation for him to come into. It's not ideal, at least, but it's not like awful. It's not like he's being drafted to the Pistons or the Knicks this year, which is good, but you know, not ideal. I also like what the Hawks have done with adding Chris Dunn, just because of Chris Dunn and Trae Young's history of kind of having a little bit of a rivalry in a way. Just at least from that one game, I think it was last season, maybe even 2 years ago now, when Chris Dunn was, you know, he was guarding Trae Young the whole game. Trae Young had a pretty good game, but Chris Dunn was, you know, doing stuff to deter that the best he could. And I think they were both kind of getting under each other's skin. They had like an altercation where I believe like somebody threw a ball at another person, I think, or no, I think he was just taunting Chris Dunn when he had turned around and walked away. Trae Young was, and he got a technical. I think there's a physical altercation as well between the two of them. I don't really know. Maybe just look up, you know, some Chris Dunn and Trae Young history. But I just think it's funny now that they're on the same team together. They'll be sharing a backcourt. That's just a fun situation. They'll probably, you know, put their past behind them and try to win basketball games, because that is something that Atlanta desperately needs to do. So with the Hawks, they're definitely better. They've made some offseason moves to get them in a more winning situation. But in terms of developing their young core and also moving in the smart, you know, team building fit direction that I would want them to go in, they didn't really do that. So I give them like a meh for this offseason, but like a good meh. There's going to be some other teams in here that are going to have a much worse meh than this team. So yeah, that's my assessment of the Atlanta Hawks. Now moving on to the Boston Celtics. I will be spending quite a bit of time on Boston like I did Atlanta, just because these are two teams I feel like there's a lot to talk about with. Other teams I will be just kind of skimming over just because there's not a whole lot to talk about. But, you know, I'll just talk as I see fit, I guess. So thank you for listening. But with Boston, though, you know, their draft, I didn't love it. Neither did my friend Jacob, who is a Boston Celtics fan. But, you know, the things I did was they drafted Aaron Nesmith out of Vanderbilt with the 14th pick, who is one of the best shooters in the draft. But he doesn't provide much on the defensive end of the floor or really anything else in terms of basketball skills, I would say. I don't know really anything other, you know, anything else about him that he's good at other than shooting. And I know that he lacks some lateral quickness to be a good defender on the perimeter. So, and, you know, he's like 6'6". He doesn't have a super big build, so he's not going to be guarding too many people efficiently in the post either. So, yeah, this is really just a shooting type of pick. Probably a guy that can bring in their second unit that can just knock down some threes, which I don't hate for them, but I think there were better options with the 14th pick, better directions they could have gone, like Precious Achiuwa, who was on the board. I think even Isaiah Stewart would have been a better pick here, even though that's a little high for him as well. And honestly, if you're going the Aaron Nesmith direction, I would have preferred Desmond Bane. I like, you know, positionally very similar, but I think, you know, Desmond Bane he possesses much better, you know, defensive qualities for sure than Aaron Nesmith. Nesmith is probably the better shooter, but Desmond Bane is still one of the at least better shooters in this draft. He's not going to hurt you in that regard at all, at least. So I think Desmond Bane would have been a better pick here if I was Danny Ainge, but, you know, I'm not. So Aaron Nesmith, not a terrible pick, though. And then Peyton Pritchard at the 26th overall pick, which I also didn't think was a terrible pick, but Jacob really doesn't like this pick. He doesn't see anything special about Peyton Pritchard over other point guards that were available, which I kind of agree with, but I do get the appeal with Peyton Pritchard being the Pac-12 Player of the Year, being a guy that might be able to come in and you just plug him in and might be able to do some stuff in a second unit pretty well. So, you know, him basically replacing Brad Wanamaker, who they lost in free agency, is going to be, I think, somewhat enticing at least. I don't hate it. And they also got Yam Madar out of Israel with the 47th pick, who is also a point guard, you know, around the same size. So if Peyton Pritchard doesn't work out, maybe Madar will. So I guess who knows. And then in free agency, they added Tristan Thompson, which I love for them. You know, he's not like the best option that I wanted to see the Celtics do this offseason. Like, I would have preferred a Christian Wood signing or Serge Ibaka or maybe even Aaron Baines coming home or something like that. But Tristan Thompson was definitely in the list of guys that I liked for them. So just because he can be big for you, you know, be a defensive rebounder and, you know, energizer type of guy down there at the block. So Tristan Thompson will definitely be playing some meaningful minutes with the Celtics, probably closing games. So I do like that for them. I think that's an upgrade there, having now Tristan Thompson and Daniel Theis as your center depth chart, really the guys that are going to be seeing the most meaningful minutes, and still having Robert Williams behind them there, who has, you know, some pop. So we'll see what happens there. But what I really like also is Jeff Teague being signed, who I think replaces the thing I was just saying just above here with Peyton Pritchard and Yam Madar. Jeff Teague is going to be the backup point guard on this team, I'm guessing. And I really like that. Having Jeff Teague as a backup point guard, I think, is good value. So, yeah. And then they also re-signed Taco Fall to a two-way contract, which, you know, all of Boston loves. So that's cool. They traded away Vincent Poirier to OKC and Enes Kanter to the Portland Trail Blazers. And they also lost Gordon Hayward to Charlotte in free agency and Brad Wanamaker to the Warriors in free agency. You know, Jacob's pretty upset about the Gordon Hayward loss, you know, just because, you know, he's a fan of Gordon Hayward. I am too. But Gordon Hayward went and got a bag in Charlotte. So not something I was expecting. We'll talk about that in a little bit when we get Charlotte. So, yeah. But Boston had, I think they had a pretty good offseason. I'll give them that. So far, the moves they've made, pretty good. I think they did what they needed to do with getting a big guy in Tristan Thompson. And they, you know, they're building up a bit of a second unit as well. You know, starting, obviously, I think the lineup that will be starting and closing games will probably be Kemba, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Tristan Thompson. And in the second unit, you got Daniel Theis there at the backup center, who, you know, played really well for them last year, honestly, as a starting center. So, and then even behind him, you got Robert Williams and Taco Fall. And then at the four, you got Grant Williams, you got Semi Ojeleye, are both guys that, you know, could come in and play the four. I think Grant Williams has, you know, some nice potential. I like him there. And then at the small forward backup, you got, you know, Javonte Green, even Ojeleye here as well. And Romeo Langford can play, you know, three and the two. And then you got Jeff Teague as your backup point guard with the two rookies and Peyton Pritchard and Yam Madar. I skipped over Aaron Nesmith, obviously, with shooting guard position probably is where he'd come in, either shooting guard or small forward. So, yeah, it's like you've got some depth now in Boston, which they've been without for a while. Like, they, in the past, have been a pretty short rotation with, like, an 8-to-9-man rotation typically. And this gives them more options. So, yeah, I like Boston's offseason. I like it. So now on to Brooklyn. You know, Brooklyn in the draft added Reggie Perry with the 57th overall pick, which, you know, he's probably not going to be seeing very much time on the floor on this Nets team, but just thought I'd mention it. And then via trade, they've added Bruce Brown from the Pistons and Landry Shamet from the Clippers, which I really like that Landry Shamet pickup for them. And via free agency, they've added Jeff Green. So, which is interesting. They lost via trade Musa. They traded him for Bruce Brown. Free agents they've lost is Garrett Temple, Jamal Crawford, Justin Anderson, Lance Thomas, Michael Beasley, Wilson Chandler, Chris Chioza, Dante Hall, Tyler Johnson, and Jeremiah Martin, which a lot of those guys were literally just added to come onto the team to play in the bubble because there's a lot of players on the Nets that opted out of bubble play this past season. So, yeah, I don't think they lost too many valuable things via free agency, even though there are a lot of names on there. They did re-sign Joe Harris to a pretty good contract, a pretty big one, I would say. Like, he's definitely not underpaid right now. I don't know if I'd call him necessarily overpaid right now, but he's making a lot. And you know, I like that. I think Joe Harris fits their team really well. You know, they still have Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie, which I am of the opinion that one of them probably needs to be moved, just because they have, you know, now even with adding Jeff Green and Bruce Brown and Landry Shamet, you know, I feel like they just have too much shot creation going alongside Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and not enough like role players, not enough guys that are just like, I'm going to lock in on defense and hit corner threes, you know, that type of thing, to fit around their stars. Instead of having role players to fit around their stars, they have some like pretty enticing guys that can create offense when you want them to, and they don't fit into a role very well. And Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert are both like that. Joe Harris fits into a role well. I think Landry Shamet will fit into a role well. But I don't know, with this team just having Kyrie, KD, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Caris LeVert seems a little messy. And I think I would try to flip one of those guys' value into some pieces that you can use for this team. Or flip into another star that can back up, you know, Kyrie and KD. You know, in case of injury, and also having on the floor would be interesting, like in James Harden. But I don't know. You know, they lost out in Drew Holiday. Bradley Beal would be the other, you know, obvious person that they've, you know, has been talked about than possibly targeting. But honestly, I don't even know what I'm saying. But Caris LeVert, not moving off of them isn't the worst thing you can do. Moving off of Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie, because the more I think about it, having KD's injury looming over him, you know, you don't know if he's going to be back to 100%, and Kyrie misses a lot of time, anyways. So having guys that can step up and, you know, be some temporary shot creators for your team and Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie might be a nice, valuable thing to have, maybe. But it's just when they're all together, I don't love the fit on the floor. But yeah, I definitely give their offseason so far a meh, like a very weak meh, because I mean, all they've done really is re-sign Joe Harris, which was good. But it wasn't like a bargain. So yeah, I haven't loved Brooklyn's offseason, but not bad, not terrible. Now on to Charlotte, the Charlotte Hornets. you know, they obviously drafted LaMelo Ball third overall in the draft. They got Vernon Carey Jr. out of Duke with the 32nd pick. They got some other guys in the draft, but those are really the main two. Then they added Gordon Hayward via free agency, which was a very, very, very fat contract that I was not expecting to happen. Both me and Jacob were talking about this, and you know, I figured when I saw him decline that $34 million player option with Boston, my initial thought was like, you know, he's probably just declining that money because next year's free agent class is so stacked that he doesn't think he'll be able to get near the amount next offseason in free agency than he will this season. But still, and it's, you know, I was like, but still, is it worth turning down $34 million? Because I, you know, at that time, I thought he's never going to see that money again. I doubt that, you know, as much as I like Gordon Hayward, I didn't think he was going to see that money again. I thought what Gordon Hayward would be looking at this offseason, in terms of what he'd sign for in free agency, was something more along the lines of like the 10 to 15 range, like at maximum, 10 to 15 mil a year. Like, I was thinking, like, more accurately, like 11 to 13 area was where you'd see him, just based off of his production the past couple seasons, what kind of player you think he is right now. That's just what I thought would happen. And you know, and also on top of that, his injury concerns that he still has. You know, obviously a very unfortunate occurrence of him destroying his ankle a couple years ago, one of the worst injuries we've ever seen on an NBA court. And that was just brutal. And, you know, that was his very first game in a Boston uniform after having a breakout season in Utah the year before, averaging like 22-6-4, being a really nice primary ball handler on that Utah team. And, you know, he was really going over to Boston to really see his role flourish as a, you know, on a winning team where you have Kyrie Irving as the primary ball handler and him kind of playing off of that, being more of the secondary ball handling option that can really play and fit into that role very nicely, and elevate a team in a way that, you know, that was just a great basketball fit at the time. It was like, you got Kyrie, you got Gordon Hayward playing off of him. You got Al Horford doing Al Horford things. Very special player at the time. And you got the two young Bucks in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And everybody thought, you know, that's going to be a nice team. It did not turn out the way that everybody was hoping. But, you know, Boston's still in a good place. And it looks like Gordon Hayward's still in a good place, at least financially, because he just signed for 4 years, $120 million. So he's very close to what he'd be earning this season anyways now at around $30 million. But he's got three more years with the Charlotte Hornets. I don't know if there's more teams out there that would have given him this kind of money. I know that Indiana was reportedly interested in him, and I don't think Indiana was giving him this much money, was offering this much money, because if they were, I think Hayward would obviously choose Indiana, just in terms of, you know, basketball fit number one, and then also him, that being his where he's from, his home state, and him being a kind of like a basketball hero there in Indiana after playing for Butler and having a really decorated college career. So, like, I just feel like that would have been the better option. But if, you know, Indiana's not offering you that much money compared to Michael Jordan with the Charlotte Hornets, then yeah, go with MJ. Not a bad idea. You know, they might win some games in this Eastern Conference, but I don't think they're going to be a playoff team. Like, at best case scenario, they're the 8 seed in this Eastern Conference when it's all said and done. But I wouldn't bet on that at all. I don't think they make the playoffs, but they'll be close. I think they'll be right on the outside looking in this Eastern Conference, with adding Gordon Hayward and LaMelo Ball. But they still have, you know, Terry Rozier and Devontae Graham being kind of like score-first-minded point guards. They still got Nick Batum's contract. You know, the things they lost were Dwayne Bacon, Bismack Biyombo, Willie Hernan Gomez, Kobe Simmons, Ray Spalding, which I thought Bismack Biyombo re-signed with them for the minimum. I thought that's what was reported. This is saying otherwise, though. So, I guess I don't know about that. But still, that's not like that big of an impact decision. They got, you know, the Nevada Twins and Cody Martin and Caleb Martin, which is just, yeah, it's fun. PJ Washington has some nice upside. You know, he had a really good rookie season for them last year. They got Jalen McDaniels, who I think could have some pop in his future as well. But, you know, I don't love this roster. It's got Miles Bridges, Malik Monk. Like I said, I don't love this roster, but, like, for Charlotte standards, not bad. Yeah. Like, the free agents, or their offseason, they've made respectable moves. They signed Gordon Hayward to too much money, which is a mistake that Charlotte seems to make over and over, with signing guys to money that they should not be earning. Like, it's just, if a team repeatedly every offseason is signing somebody that's like, everybody goes, whoa, Like, that's not what I was expecting. There's probably a problem in that front office, which Mitch Kupchak is a very respected GM. But I don't, you know, with his days with the Lakers and everything, but I don't know what he's doing. I don't really understand it. Terry Rozier is being paid a lot of money. Gordon Hayward is now being paid a lot of money. You're still paying Nick Batum a lot of money, which he should have never gotten. But yeah, now you got LaMelo Ball, which is fun. Let's see what happens there. But yeah, I'll give another meh to this. Meh will probably be the most common answer for a lot of these teams. You know, there will be a few teams that I will say I loved. There will be a few teams that I say I liked. There will be a lot of teams that I'll say were meh. And there'll be some teams that I say got worse for sure. And I did not like their offseason. But a lot of teams are going to fall in the meh area. I'm assuming so far. I guess I don't know for sure. But yeah, meh for Charlotte. Now on to the Chicago Bulls. You know, they obviously had that pick, the fourth pick in the draft this year. That was pretty shocking for a lot of people when they drafted Patrick Williams out of Florida State. And then with the 44th pick, they got Marko Simonovic. They also signed Devon Dotson, undrafted, out of Kansas. So I like that for them. In free agency, they got Garrett Temple. You know, they also lost in free agency. They lost Chris Dunn to the Hawks. They lost Shaquille Harrison, Adam Mokoka, and Max Struss. You know, but they still got Zach LaVine. They still got Satoransky. They still have Otto Porter, Denzel Valentine, who they re-signed, Lauri Markkanen, Thad Young, Wendell Carter Jr., Daniel Gafford, Luke Kornet. You know, some just those guys. Kobe White, who, you know, has I think he's got a future as like a spark plug scorer, and you know, he showed what he can do last offseason or last season during his rookie year, and I think he'll continue to go on an upward trajectory. This Bulls team, you know, adding Billy Donovan as their head coach. I like the fit with Patrick Williams coming in here. But I don't think there's anything too special going on in Chicago. I think they'll be somewhere around Charlotte at the end of the season. But I think I'd bet on Charlotte probably being a little bit better of a team this year. Just from a gut feeling, but and just from a talent standpoint as well. But, you know. Actually, I don't know. They're pretty close. But yeah, not really much to comment on here. They really didn't do hardly anything at all other than draft some people, and they signed Garrett Temple, which is like, yeah, okay. But Otto Porter's coming back, hopefully going to be healthy for this season. I like the upside of Wendell Carter Jr. and Lauri Markkanen long term. And we'll see what Zach LaVine can do in this next season. You know, I think he's a pretty, in my mind, a pretty like good stats bad team type of player, but he's definitely super talented, and we'll see if he, you know, his scoring and his shot creation can turn into some wins for Chicago. But yeah, it's definitely like a meh, just because there's like very little to go off of. Like, it's a very, you know, there's different meanings for a lot of my mehs in this, but yeah, another meh for Chicago. Now on to the Cavs, which I already know is going to be another meh. Like, they drafted Isaac Okoro, which I do like. You know, if I was running the Cavs, that is who I would have taken in the draft at five, was Isaac Okoro. You know, he fits in exactly where your team, you know, needs players in that forward role, the wing role. And, you know, he's one of the best defenders in this draft, probably the best wing defender in this draft. So, overall, yeah, I think that's just a good pick. And then they traded for JaVale McGee for some reason, and Matthew Dellavedova they re-signed, and they also traded for Damian Dotson, so from the Knicks. And I don't love any of those, especially the JaVale McGee one, like, because this team just has a lot of centers, and I don't see anything special happening with most of these guys. A lot of these guys are not going to be getting playing time, or, you know, as much as they should. You know, they've got, just in terms of centers, they have Andre Drummond, they have Kevin Love, they have JaVale McGee now, they have Larry Nance Jr., they have Jordan Bell, and they have Ante Zizic. So they've got a lot of centers. And they don't need that many. And a lot of those guys are deserving of minutes. Like, they're that, you know, they're pretty good players. I like Kevin Love. I want him to be on a better team than he is right now. So I hurt for him, but, you know, hopefully he gets traded or moved in some kind of way. Before the postseason. And then, you know, in your backcourt, you still got Colin Sexton and Darius Garland, Dante Exum's there. You know, that's somebody that I haven't really given up on yet. At the wing position, though, you got Kevin Porter Jr., Jetty Osman. Now you got Isaac Okoro. Dylan Windler is also there. But, you know, I think that, you know, Cleveland is going to be in a similar spot than they were last year, down there at the bottom of the East. So, you know, I'd give them another meh. But, you know, it's a better meh than most of the teams before. I'll give them a good. I liked it. I liked their offseason, you know, in terms of Cavs. Like, they haven't done a whole lot of things. You know, they lost Tristan Thompson in free agency, which is not something you need to be worried about, because that just is another, you know, another guy. They lost Ante Zizic, too. So I lied about him being on the roster. But and apparently they lost Jordan Bell to the Lakers. I guess I was wrong with the first guys I was reading, because I'm looking at the roster at the same time I'm looking at their moves. So I didn't see that part. But, in terms of centers, though, they still have Kevin Love, JaVale McGee, Andre Drummond, Larry Nance Jr., which is like a weird mix of guys. But, you know, but yeah, after reading that, though, I do like that better. You know, not a bad offseason. Pretty good. Pretty good for the Cavs. Now on to the Dallas Mavericks, which, you know, before we even get into it, I'm going to let you know that I really liked the offseason so far for the Dallas Mavericks. I loved their draft. You know, they took three guys at the 18th pick, 31st pick, and 36th pick. All those guys are guys that I liked going to the Nuggets at some point or another. Like, I would have liked those guys for my team. And, you know, they got all of them, and I really like them for the Mavericks as well. So, you know, at the 18th pick, they got Josh Green out of Arizona, which is a guy that I was hoping would have been available for the Nuggets realistically at 22. So 18 is a little bit higher than I thought Josh Green would go. I thought he'd be somewhere more like the 21 to 24 area, but it's a good pick, especially for the Mavs. I think that Josh Green is going to be a nice, 3-and-D piece for them, maybe in a couple years. I think he'll play limited minutes on this roster right now, but, you know, he provides them with good depth, though, that's for sure. And then you got Tyrell Terry with the 31st pick, which I thought was a complete steal, one of the biggest steals of the draft. Tyrell Terry, I think offensively at least, is like the next Seth Curry. He is a super great shooter, with some ball handling and playmaking skills as well, which actually is a part of Seth Curry's game that isn't that good, but I think Tyrell Terry does have shades of that that is very good. The only difference between the two of them is Seth Curry is a pretty solid defender. Tyrell Terry needs some work on that end. But Tyrell Terry just provides you with a lot of range coming in to knock down threes and being a ball handling option. I think is going to be a really nice piece for this Mavericks team, and I like the idea that, you know, he's really young as well, so could develop into something as well beyond that. And then Tyler Bay was the 36th pick for them out of Colorado, and he's like a small ball five probably realistically in the NBA, but he could play some four as well, being a nice solid defender, has a very very broad build. And he's got some bounce to him as well. So, you know, he could be a bit of a lob threat beyond, you know, the other stuff that he does well. And then he has a projectable jump shot. It's not one that's very solid at the moment, but it's a shot that you could turn into something, you know, that he could be knocking down stuff from the corner and possibly above the break wide open. You know, somebody that you might need to show some respect to on that front. So I like that pick for them as well. And then they, on draft night, they traded away Seth Curry in return for Josh Richardson, which I love for both teams. I'll get to the Philly part later in their turn. But with Josh Richardson, you know, he's a guy that's going to be a nice wing defender for them, and that, you know, he can knock down threes when you need him to. But he's also he's got good ball handling skills and nice, you know, awareness and cutting skills to play alongside Luka Doncic perfectly. I think he's going to be a really nice piece there alongside Doncic and Porzingis. So, yeah, and then they got James Johnson via trade as well, which, you know, that's pretty good too. He's a, you know, he's like a, I would call him a bit of a 3-and-D type of guy as well, but a little bit on the, you know, older end of his career, not going to be seeing a ton of time, but, you know, he's a piece that provides depth for them for sure. And then they added Wes Iwundu via free agency from the Orlando Magic, which is, you know, a nice pickup as well. And then, you know, the players they lost, obviously, we already mentioned Seth Curry to the Sixers. They lost him via trade, and they also lost DeLon Wright to the Pistons via trade as well, and as well as Justin Jackson to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then free agents they lost were J.J. Barea, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, which I'm sad about that one for them, Courtney Lee, Josh Reeves, and Antonius Cleveland. But overall, you know, I like this roster that's returning. They re-signed Trey Burke, which is a huge win in my book. Really going to be a really good, solid bench point guard, backup point guard, being a bench scorer for them. They still got Tim Hardaway Jr., obviously Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis. They still have Jalen Brunson. You know, he's another guy that can fill in, you know, in a bench guard role. You know, after having a pretty promising young start, but then kind of struggled with injuries a bit, hopefully can come back a bit. And then Dorian Finney-Smith, great, you know, long wing, switchable defender who can knock down some threes as well for you. I like him returning in his development there with this team as well. Dwight Powell coming back from injury. I don't know how healthy, how good he's going to be, because, you know, he was like a rim running 3-point shooter, you know, pick and pop and pick and roll type of athlete at that center position, but he tore his Achilles, which is definitely going to affect his explosiveness and his jumping ability. So we'll see what happens with him, but hopefully he can get back to a pretty good role with this team. And then they got Maxi Kleba, a nice 3-and-D center for them, you know, a smart player. I like Maxi Kleba for them. Boban Marjanovic, which is everybody's, you know, one of their favorite players. He's just an awesome personality, and he fits in with this team pretty well. A guy that you can throw in certain matchups to just score down there at the block. Can't really do too much else, though. And then Willie Cauley-Stein, they brought back as a lob threat as well in that roll game with Luka Doncic being one of the best pick-and-roll initiators in the league. So, yeah, really good team. Really good team. And they had a really good offseason so far. And that is going to conclude part one of this series. Hope you enjoyed the episode. I'll be coming back very soon with another one just to go through the next, I don't know, 7-8-ish teams. It really depends on how long I spend on them. I like to keep it probably around 40-45 minutes long for each one of these parts, each one of these episodes. So, yeah, thank you guys for listening. Please like, comment, subscribe, follow the Spotify feed. These are really fun to do. I like just getting my thoughts out there on them. And thank you to anybody who listens. So, yeah, thank you guys for listening, and I will talk to you guys next time.